Absolutely.
It's also translated complete, and I want to give it really what John gave it. What is the Lord doing? What are all his efforts towards? It is that there might be, look, in heaven, it's not going to be a problem. We don't have any problem being like Christ when we're in heaven. It's here on earth where there's the difficulty. And this is, Tony mentioned it. God has a purpose in mind. He is that which he is going to work to accomplish. That Christ would be seen in those that he has brought into this area. That he would be seen in that life. And I'm convinced, and I may be wrong, that you may be complete and entire, wanting nothing. That keys me again. It's not heaven it's talking about. Wants are associated with the earth that we're living in. And that this one is so like Christ. And Christ is radiating through he or she. This is his goal. Okay? So I think that helps you to associate. You see, the order here is divine. We've got to see that. The wisdom is needed for the trial. I'll never get to that point without the recognition that wisdom is needed. How many times? I'll give you an example. We'll never graduate from this school. Here we have a new engagement that has just been announced. We have another new couple, Joe and Laura. They're all entering different stages of their lives. Some of us have been married a lot of years. Do you know, every one of us come to this point time and time and time again. Lord, we need wisdom to know what to do. Lord, here are the circumstances. We're laying them before you. And we don't need a right or a wrong. That's not what this is. It might be right or wrong. But this is about the wisdom for the path. Now look at what it says. If any of you lack wisdom, just kind of bask in the sunlight of this verse a minute. Let him ask of God. And what does God do? Well, he's a giver. He's not an exactor. He's not a demander. He's not a commander. He's a giver. He giveth to all liberally. Not a smidgen. He doesn't say, Rachel, ask of me and I'm going to give you just this little bit that you might have this now. No, he's a liberal giver. He giveth to all men liberally. And then we said a moment ago, he doesn't upbraid. He doesn't say, look, my child, you should have known this, John. You should have known this. No, he upbraideth not. And then look at the assurance that it ends with. It shall be given him. Do I have any doubt? This is God speaking. It shall be given him. But then we're going to be linked up with that which is our pathway through this hostile world. That is that it's a life of faith. It's not a life of sight. It's not easy going knowing there's the road and it's four lane and I just get in this lane and go. No, it's not like that. But he begins to speak about how we approach him for this wisdom.
Could you help with this expression, patience? Because we are creatures of the age in which we live in. Yeah. It's always instant gratification. You want to know something, you don't have to wait for the Lord to go to the library. You can jump on the internet and find it immediately. If you want something, you run out of the store, you get it, you don't have to wait. What's the idea of the word patience? Because I think that the way God deals with us is that he wants to teach us how to depend and to wait on him. I think Paul in Romans 5 takes things a little further with this. He talks about glory in tribulations, whereas James talks about joy, talks about joy. I think that in our experience, we must come to a point where we realize that as various trials come, we're settled and we know that God's going to work things out. Is that the idea of patience? It's not going to happen immediately. The answer isn't going to come to next second or tomorrow, maybe. But I think that's something that is very difficult for us. It's difficult for me.
I don't think that God's perspective has changed because the world we live in has changed.
Right.
It hasn't. I turn to Isaiah 40. I'll just read these. 29. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord. It isn't easy, but it is still one of his requirements to wait. And, you know, if the answer is not here today, do you know what that says to me? I didn't need the answer today. In his own wisdom and his own time, he will show, and because instant gratification is part of the society we live in, I want it, and I want it right now. God doesn't work on those lines. I'll read the rest of these. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
I wonder if all of us can remember these three words and will give us an understanding what patience is all about. There are three words. Half of it is common between the three. It's two Greek compound words put together. Submission, obedience, endurance, or patience. Submission is very simple, to get under. Obedience is to learn under. And patience is to stay under. And that's what patience is all about. That the Lord and the Spirit of God will give me the ability to stay under, you might say, the authority of God, the authority of the Lord, despite of the testing that I'm going through. Because it's so easy to react when you're being faced with something and start taking matters into your own hand, because you don't like the kind of testings you're going through. But if I can take the patience and recognize that I'm exhorted to stay under the same authority, even in times of testing, it will help me to stay under and see the end result of things.
I think also that the patience we're talking about, it could be linked with Philippians 4, with the peace of God that we get through prayer. Because through temptation, you can't do anything on your own. We need to learn that when we go to the Lord, we can have this peace of God that we don't know when he's going to work anything out. We don't know what he is going to do, but we know that who he is, and that we can rely upon him. And I think that's the real reason that we can have this patience, is knowing who God is, and that he is love, and that he knows the best thing for us. He knows what we need, and he knows what he is going to accomplish by this trial, so we can learn to rely upon him and have patience because of who he is.
Just to add on to what Brother Tony Tate was saying earlier about the natural way of man, that man's wisdom, this wouldn't make sense to them. To say that, you know, testing produces patience or endurance, natural man would say, well, I don't want that. If all I get out of testing is the ability to endure more testing, then I don't want it. But I think another thing we can also look, if I could just point us to verse 12 real quick, is that part of what these testings are producing, not part of the way it's perfecting or completing us, like verse 4 says, is that it produces love for the Lord. Because the same man in verse 12 that endures temptation and is crowned with the crown of life is the same man at the end that says, them that love him. So I think that's also part of endurance and patience, is producing, perfecting our love for the Lord.